got some teaching I want to do this morning. Just buckle in. We're going to start peeling some layers off this morning. But you want to bless our kids as they go up to Children's Church. Amen. As we kind of wind down summer here, I know we've still got a couple more months of, I'm not going to prophetically declare, but probably extremely hot weather. So it doesn't feel like summer's winding down, but for the kids and school and family vacations and all of that stuff, summer's winding down very rapidly. And I just want to, everybody, as they kind of finish up those things, just declare just a release to... to experience that and enjoy that and soak up the last bit of that is before we get back into the regiment of school year and all of those things. So I really want everybody just to, the people that are gone this week and are begun the next few weeks, that just, it's a good time of being away. And that we come in, that we just quickly recapture focus and drive and all of that, because I'm really, 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 and we never want to punt on the summertime. The summertime has its purpose in what all God's doing and what we do in our lives with the beach and the vacation and the lake and all of that stuff. And that's great. You know, all that stuff's awesome. But as we come back in and we get back to the normalcy of our life, to where we're back and we're in the routine of all of the stuff, I really believe that God desires to do some significant things this year, this fall, this school year, in our lives, in this house, in the schools. And so as we come in, soak up that last little bit of flip flops and whatever. But as we come in, let's quickly regain focus and attention on what God's desiring to do. Okay, let's don't be hung over on summer too quick. All right, you see what I'm saying? Let's don't be hung over on summer too quick. Let's come in and let's be very intentional this week. With the kids at VBS, we always have about 100 kids here every year. There are always multiple salvations every year, and just sowing into our kids. My grandkids love VBS. They get so. I think I heard you saying something about, was it Trevor this morning? It was like VBS starts tonight, and I want it to be a wonderful time in God's house for them. So let's come in and really be focused this week, these next 5 days, and minister and bring in and draw and all of that stuff. But just really want us in this as we kind of reboot. And August is kind of a reboot month for us. As we reboot in August, let's quickly gain our focus and our attention and all of that again. Okay, amen. Let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew 3. I've got several different places. I don't know how much of this we'll get this morning. I've got a couple pages of notes. I know we won't get all of it, but let's just go to Matthew 3 for a moment. I want to talk about something that the Lord's just really been blowing up in me recently. I feel like it is hugely significant. It has been something that I feel like has been untouched in the church. I've really never heard much teaching and definitely no emphasis on this. But I think that it is a what God is doing right now. I'm really trying to, as I listen to all these different ministers and process what God's doing in my life, process what God's doing in y'all's lives, what God's process what God's doing in Victory Fellowship, really trying to put my finger, and I know that's a dangerous thing, put my finger and say, God, what are you doing right now? What are you doing right now? Because I really feel like, now I have been in ministry since the mid-80s, so that's been a minute, and I've been in some good stuff. It's not like I've been in dry ministry for 20-something years. I've been in some awesome ministry from the get-go. Right out the chutes, man, we were in good stuff. And God just blowing up and all that. You know, I ran into somebody the other day, and they mentioned, somebody said, do you know so-and-so? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I remember baptizing him as a teenager back in the 80s, when I was pastoring Baptist church and all of that stuff. So we have been in really, really good stuff. So I'm not saying this out of a place of somebody that has been 20 years of dry. But I believe what God is doing right now is the most significant thing that I have ever seen him do. And I don't say that lightly. I believe what God is doing right now and what God desires to do right now is the most significant thing. Kenny, I think it's the most significant thing that I have ever seen Him, that we're on the precipice. What He is doing now, not just He's about to do, what He is doing right now, and we're starting to see the first fruits. I believe it is the most significant thing that God has, that I have ever seen Him do. Obviously, I wasn't around in the first great awakening or you know, the different awesome huge moves of God, but I really, really feel like what He's doing on a global basis, and I'm not just talking about here at Victory. We're just now starting to scratch the surface of what He's wanting to do here at Victory, okay? But what He's doing in individual lives and what I see doing on a global scale, I think is the most significant thing I've ever seen, the most significant release that I've ever seen. And, you know, we were around during Brownsville and Toronto and everything else, and those were huge. And I'm not trying to diminish anything, but I just believe that this is a deeper thing. When I say deeper, I believe that it has more volume to it. I remember when we went to New Zealand several years ago, and me and Brett were going to go surfing one day, and we were down at Piha Beach, and some of you have heard me tell this story, you know, a few years ago, but, you know, we had surfed a little bit at Cabo and Hawaii, you know, so we're like, oh, yeah, I've done it twice, so whatever. And so we rented surfboards, and we went there, and there were two places at Piha Beach, and there's a big rock between Lion Rock that is in between two segments of the beach. And on this side over here, and they said, well, that's the beginner side and all that. And me and Brett were looking, you know, out here in front of us. And y'all know me and my personality. I'm not, no, we're doing this. And so, you know, I found out later that they had just had the Junior World Championships on that very spot of sand. You know, I should have been a clue when they have jet skis with the sleds behind them to rescue people. Should have been a clue for me. But, you know, because the waves, it wasn't the height of the waves, you know, because you were looking at 5 or 6 foot waves, you know, which is like, it's a nice wave, but it's not like, you know, it's not like you're on the North Shore of Maui or anything like that. But they told me they have more drownings at that beach than any other place in New Zealand. And they said that the reason that they, and I was nearly one of them in that number. I like to have died, and I was in good shape at that time too. My Lori and Aaliyah still have a picture of me, and they laugh about it. Me just laying on a surfboard, you know, after I'd made it back to the beach, just like, oh gosh, I'm alive, you know, just gasping for air. But they said the significance of the waves at that place was the volume of the waves. It was not the height. But it was the volume that they carried so much weight underneath and so much amount of water that came underneath that it was just a constant. If you ever got caught up in one, it was just a constant rolling because of the amount of volume. You couldn't see it from the beach with an inexperienced eye. But once you got out in it, then you're like, oh my gosh, this is something way more significant than a 6 footer in, you know, you fill in the blank. And so I really feel like I liken that to what God's doing right now. I see such a huge volume of a the mass of what He's doing, the weight of it and the significance of it. We've been in things that perhaps on the surface were more spectacular. I have been in more spectacular manifestations in my life, but I have never been in something to where just the weight of what God's doing right now. And that's why I am super pumped about this, because I know this has the potential and the capacity to have a much more far-reaching effect in the time that we're in right now. God's going, you know, he more so than making the hair on the back of our neck stands up, He wants to give us a word for a surgeon. He wants us as a body to pray for, you know, that's probably doesn't happen to Him very often. He, unbeknownst to Him, He doesn't know we're over here, you know, praying our guts out for Him that He would have supernatural encounter. And He goes in every Monday and does surgeries and all that stuff. But the Lord wants to stir and do more stuff like this because it's got a stronger undertow, not necessarily an undertow, but stronger volume, okay? Where God's got me this morning and where I was planning on launching out last week, we hit on it a couple weeks ago as God gave us a word for the blessing of a father. And I was planning on coming in last week, and me and Lori got sidetracked for about a week and with a stomach virus, so we hated not being with you guys, but y'all did not want us here last week, I promise you that. And so it is great to be here today. So we're going to pick up on this morning, and we're going to start talking about this. I briefly just launched the word a few weeks ago. I gave the word out in here and actually prayed for several people in that. And I pray that is something that started a launching pad in your life. And we're going to teach on this tonight. Obviously, we have Bible school Wednesday night, so we'll see where it goes. I'm not going to get all of this out this morning, but we'll just hit it where we can. And then where we feel like the Lord says quit, we'll quit and we'll pick it back up. We're going to be in Matthew 3, and we're going to talk about the baptism of Jesus. And as I talk about the baptism of Jesus, I want us to wrap our head around the thought, the mindset of the blessing of a father. And I think that the blessing of a father is so huge, and I think it's what God's doing right now. We tend to come in, and we prefer the birthright over the blessing, because the birthright carries legal weight. The birthright carries its own set of addendums to our life, but the blessing is far superior to that. Okay, it is far superior to that. I want you to think about Jesus when he was coming. How did God announce his birth and all that stuff? Through angels. Father God never announced it, did he? Father God never announced it. He announced it through angels. He announced it through a star. He spoke it to shepherds. He spoke it to wise men. But Father God did not put any type of laying on of hands of this thing as far as his declaration, his announcement. There was not a blessing of a father that took place at this time. There was something that was set in motion. Obviously, Jesus came, was born, and to great things. But Jesus basically was in hiding for 30 years. Jesus was basically in a place of I don't want to say that he was nameless, faceless, or anything like that. But as far as him being thrust out onto the global scene, that he was in a place of obscurity. That's the word I'm looking for. He was in a place of obscurity for 30 years until the Father came in, and then he received the blessing of the Father. The Lord carried me to Jacob and Esau and Isaac. Y'all all remember the story of Jacob and the stolen birthright? He actually bought the birthright. It was a cheap sale. I mean, it went down with the settlers buying Manhattan from the Indians as one of the biggest steals in history. But he came in and he bought the birthright. But the thing about the birthright, it was inferior compared to the blessing of the Father. If y'all remember when Esau sold the birthright, it said that he despised the birthright after that, and he despised Jacob because he felt like Jacob took advantage of him. But he was very much a willing party in this, and so it was something where the birthright was something that was significant in itself. And I'll be honest with you, we've always placed more emphasis on the birthright than we have anything else. How many times have y'all heard me or Brett or Jeremy or other ministers preach on the birthright and the significance of the birthright? And how we want how many times have we declared, I want the birthright of the firstborn, which was a double portion? We've all declared that, haven't we? And we've declared about the authority of that. You know, we talked about the authority, and rightfully so, but it's inferior compared to the blessing of a father. Look, fast forward a little bit in time when, and we don't know how much time took place over in Genesis 27, but fast forward in a period of time where Isaac is getting old, he is about to die, and he calls his son Esau, and he says, I want you to go and kill me some venison, go kill a deer, bring it in, cook it the way I like it, you know it's my favorite meal, bring it to me because it is time for me to give you the blessing of the Father. Before I die, I've got to release this blessing of the Father into you. All right. Now, remember the first time when Esau sold the birthright? It said that he despised the birthright. He ticked off at Jacob, but he despised the birthright. Well, you look in this story, and the reason I'm just kind of telling you about this is I don't want to spend the hour that it would take for me to teach and develop this. We might do it a little bit later. But I want you to think about this. When this took place, you know what happened? When we know the story that Isaac's wife, Rebekah, she heard him tell Esau that, "I want to bless you. I want to give you the blessing." And she told Jacob, "Your daddy's about to give out the blessing. So you need, this is what you need to do." So they devised a scheme, and she went and they killed a goat. She cooked it for him. There's a lot of teaching that we could do on that. Somebody else preparing a meal that the Father wants you to prepare, because He wants your wild game and not something that got killed domestically. Anyway, all of that stuff. So we could get into all of this good stuff. We all know that he put on his brother's clothes, and then he put on the skin of the goat because it was hairy, and Esau was a hairy man. So he went in, he tricked Isaac, and he got the blessing. And Isaac released that blessing into him. He declared that blessing over him. He released something into him that had been reserved. It was special reserved, had been set aside, and he released that into his son. And then he had just done that, and Jacob had left, then Esau came in, successful on the hunt, and he says, "Hey, Dad, I'm here. I've cooked the venison that you want." So, you know, and Isaac's freaking out, because he said, "Well, who was that that came a while ago? Because I just released the blessing into somebody else." And he knew then all of a sudden that it was Jacob, and he had been tricked. Esau knew that it was he had been deceived by his brother yet again. And so he came in, and he starts freaking out on this and starts begging for the blessing. Totally opposite reaction to what he had with the birthright. Think about it. He starts begging his father. He said, "Lord, bless me too. Father, bless me too. I know you've got more than one blessing in there. I know there's more than one in there." And Isaac comes and he says, "I'm sorry, I've released my blessing. I have released this thing." Now, the good thing about Heavenly Father and Earthly Father is Earthly Father can release that blessing, but you know what Heavenly Father can do? He can release multiple. It's not like if I release it into your life, I don't have it for his life. That's the difference in Isaac and Father God. Amen? Is we don't have to worry about God done put his hand on Brett Kent, and so there ain't none left over for me. And we get in that mindset. We get in that mindset that God's put His hand on, and we'll do it with a spouse. We'll think that God's got a certain measure of blessing for the household, and so He's going to put His hand either heavier on Brett or heavier on Beth, and the other one is just, sorry, you're going to get just kind of the spillage. And that's not the case with Father God. But I just want to throw out there and bring to your mind, think about Esau and his response when he did not get the blessing, and it was to a much further degree than it was when he didn't get the birthright. One other thing that the Lord brought to my mind on this, and I want us to talk about, and then I'm going to just read some of my writing, and we're going to look at this. I want you to think about the prodigal son. And we might go there, but I want you to think about the prodigal son. Everybody in here know the story of the prodigal son? What did the prodigal son spend in waste? His inheritance. It wasn't the birthright of the firstborn, but it was his birthright nonetheless. He wasted that. He received two things from the Father. When he came back to the Father after his years of waste and his years of spending, and he came back to the Father, what did he get when he came back to the Father? The blessing. You're right, Carolyn. He got the blessing. He got a robe. He got a ring. More importantly, before he got a robe and a ring, you know what he got? A hug and a kiss. The hug and the kiss will always predicate the robe and the ring. It will always come before the robe and the ring. The hug and the kiss is what qualifies the robe and the ring to be placed on the hand and the back. And so he received two different types of blessing, if you will, from the Father. One was a birthright, and the other was a blessing. Which was more significant in his life? The blessing. Because that wasn't something he could spend. You know what he knew moving here forward? I can dwell in my Father's house the rest of my life. I don't have to go anywhere. I have a place. I have a home. And that came with the blessing of the Father. Blessing, that's the firm foundation that we build upon. That is there. And that is in place. So this blessing of the Father is so significant. And I'm still trying to peel this onion and unravel this, and I'm just saying, God, just show me the depths of this. And He's like, all right, I'm going to give it to you in doses. So you're not getting all of it this morning. You're kind of getting the phase one of this thing this morning, all right? Let's look in this scripture right quick, and then I'm going to read some notes, and we're just going to kind of go spin out of that. All right, chapter 3, the Gospel of Matthew. We're seeing the ministry of John the Baptist in the first 12 verses. John the Baptist is coming in, and he is declaring and preaching a message of repentance. He is baptizing a baptism of repentance. Then he comes in verse 13, and it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night, we taught on this. And Jesus was very intentional and all of these things. Just some really good stuff in that. "Jesus cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo," now look at this, I'm going to back up a little bit on what we taught a couple of Wednesday nights ago. "And lo, the heavens were opened unto him." We used to have this misconception, or I always had this picture, that the heavens were opened up and everybody was sitting there going, wow, look at that. Not necessarily the case. It said the heavens were opened to him. The heavens were opened to him. All of a sudden, Jesus was walking in a new place that up until this time, in his place of hiding and obscurity, he had not walked in. You say, well, What? Wait a minute. Guys, something significant happened to Jesus this day. I'm not saying that he was not deity up to this point. He was. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. He was divine in nature. And when there's nothing we can say or do that will refute that. But something significant happened in him this day. Up to this point, he had performed zero miracles. The closest thing to a miracle we have recorded that Jesus did up to this point was he sat in the temple and he marveled the scholars at his questions and answers that he laid out there for them. He blew their mind. And I don't know I do know it was a thing of the fact that, wow, this kid's 12 and he's throwing this out here. But there was obviously supernatural activity going in. But on this day, something significant happened in Jesus. And I believe that it is on this day that he received the blessing of the Father. And when he received the blessing of the Father, it propelled him into something new. And that's what God wants to do in your life right now, Robin. You've been loving Jesus for how many years now? 18, 19 years? Yeah, 19 years. A couple years before Brett, and he's at 17. I don't know why I can keep up with that, but maybe he talks about 17 years. And I'll probably 3 years from now be saying, Brother Brett, been serving the Lord for 17 years. You know, it just kind of sticks. You've been serving the Lord for nearly 20 years. You are a passionate lover of the Lord. There is nothing in me that ever, you know, questions your sincerity and your faith and your walk with Jesus or anything like that. But Father, God's wanting to do something significant in you and different in you right now in this blessing of the Father. I don't like the phrase seasons, but I'll use it so we understand, you know, what we're talking about. This, if you will, season that we're in, Father's wanting to, it's just like this here, something new was taking place. Something new was taking place. Because the spirit of Elijah had come in John the Baptist, and he was declaring what the prophet Isaiah had declared, that there was a voice that would cry in the wilderness, and it would make the path straight, and it would prepare the king's highway, and that was taking place in the ministry of John the Baptist. And then now it was time for Jesus to burst on the scene. The Messiah would be. The Messiah had been here for 30 years, but the Father had not put his hand of blessing and said, now is the launching point on this. And I believe that we're at a launching point. Nick, I believe that you're at a launching point in your life, you and Jamie. You know, I referenced this a couple Wednesday nights ago as I was teaching this lesson. That you've been saved and loving Jesus for many, many years. How old are you now, Nick? 33. All right. 30. I'm wondering if you'd shoot me a line. 33 years old. You've been saved since you were a teenager, serving God since you were a teenager. But it is almost like you have been in obscurity for that time until this recent season. And it's like, oh, do you agree with that? You see that? I mean, I think you'd have to be, you know, blind, deaf, mute, whole nine yards on it not to see what's going on and happening in y'all's lives as a couple and everything. But it's almost like you have been, I almost see a parallel in this where you guys have been set aside in a place of seeming obscurity, and now all of a sudden God is launching you out into purpose and I use this term very loosely, also destiny and all of these things, because you were in destiny 5 years ago, you were in destiny 10 years ago, you were in destiny 15 years ago, you were in destiny when you two guys met. But now you're at this place, and I really identify with this, where now it is the blessing of the Father, and that is launching and propelling you. Now all of a sudden you have a face and an identity that you didn't have 2 years ago. You've always been recognized in the area as a good wrestling coach. That was kind of your MO. Nick's a passionate guy. He's a good wrestling coach. You've been recognized as that. Now all of a sudden that platform has totally shifted. Not saying that you're not a good wrestler. You're still a good wrestling coach. But now all of a sudden people view you differently than just a good wrestling coach. Because you can be a good wrestling coach and be in obscurity, but when the Father puts His hand on you and He declares His blessing over you and He launches you into something, then all of a sudden you're sitting on a totally different platform and you're viewed totally different, not just as a good wrestling coach, but as a spiritual leader. And I'm not just talking about in this house. I'm talking about in the school that God puts you in. I'm talking about in a community and a representation out there and all of that stuff. And you're going to see that propel even more and more and more. And I believe at a very, very rapid pace. All right? You know, stay tethered to the things you're supposed to stay tethered to, grounded to the things you're supposed to stay grounded with and all that stuff, and you'll be okay. You won't get tripped up. But I'm just telling you, this is going to, you're going to see this move at a very rapid pace. All right? And that's a good thing. It's a thing to be cautious in, but it's a good thing. But this is what has happened with Jesus, was He was in a place of obscurity for 30 years. He was a carpenter. He learned a trade. He was a good son. We don't know at what point something happened to Joseph. He is all of a sudden just not in the picture anymore. So I don't know if he died or what was going on with him. But Jesus was in a place of obscurity until now. And so He comes in, and it said, when He was baptized, He went straightway out, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. Open heavens for who? Jesus. Doesn't necessarily mean open heavens for everybody, but open heavens for Jesus. Right now, I believe that there is a broader invitation. And one reason, I put some thought into this, and I believe one reason that I feel like that there is more volume in what God's doing right now, I believe that there's always been an invitation out there for the people that wanted to, for the Bill Johnsons and people that were just wanted to be people of devotion and press in and say, man, I'm a burnt offering to You and all of that stuff. There's always been that invitation. You know what I feel, why I feel like there's so much volume in what God's doing right now? Joseph, I believe that there is a broader range of invitation that's being issued now. Where in times past, you think God withheld and all that stuff? I believe that there is a invitation for greater intimacy to a greater number of people right now than I've ever seen before. That you don't have to be some Benedictine monk that has sit and consecrated yourself for all this. You've got to be somebody. You can come in, Trace. You can come in and you can say yes to what God's doing. And all of a sudden, you're getting an invitation that I didn't get 6 years ago. There's an invitation to you right now that was not available to me 10 years ago. I really believe that. There was an invitation to Jesus that was available right here that was not available 6 months prior to that. He experienced a level of open heavens after this that he did not experience for 30 years. He had never experienced that. He experienced it when he was in heaven with the Father. But as man walking on earth, he had not experienced this level of open heavens. Because the Word differentiates right here. I'm not differentiating this. The Word differentiates that. Micah, there's an invitation that is available to you right now that was not available to you 10 years ago. You've been in church your whole life. You've been in church with me your whole life. There's an invitation right now that was not available to you 10 years ago. I believe that. I believe that. I really do. I really do. And that's why I'm so excited about all this. That's why I am so pumped about all this. There's an invitation to you right now that was not available to me when I was a young kid. You're 13, right? 14, sorry, I didn't mean to diss you, man. 14-year-old. When I was a 14-year-old kid, I was sitting in Corinth Baptist Church hearing the gospel preached week in and week out. But there is an invitation to you right now that was not available to me at that point in time. I firmly believe God's doing something new. God's doing something unique. God's doing something powerful right now. That's what excites me, but it's also what concerns me somewhat, because I don't want anybody to miss this window of opportunity. I don't want you to miss this window of opportunity, what God is saying and what God is doing. All right, so Jesus comes in right here. Jesus, when he was baptized, I got that? When he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and what? He saw. Didn't say everybody saw, said he saw. He saw. You will see things. You will hear things. God will reveal things. God will open heaven up to you. God's going to show you stuff in your spirit man, Beth. God's going to show you stuff in dreams. God's going to show you stuff in your quiet time. God's going to show you stuff on the lawnmower. God's going to show you things. And He's going to take you places and all that that you did not see in a previous season. He's going to show you stuff right now that he did not, that was not available for you to see 15 years ago when you were a college girl coming to church here, just falling in love with Jesus and chasing after him. Tip, he'll show you stuff now that he didn't even show you, was not available for you to see then. When you fell in love with Jesus, really fell in love with Jesus, and that was cool and awesome and exciting. And I love it when I fell in love with Lori. 30-something years ago. It was awesome, and it was fresh, and it was amazing. Never felt anything like it, but I love where we are now greater than I did when back then. I love this place much more so than I did that place, because there's things in her soul that I see. There are things that God has done in us now that was not available back then. And so I see this happening with Jesus right here. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So Jesus sees this stuff happening. He sees this stuff happening. He knows this is the time. He knows this is the launching place. He recognizes this. You know, the first battle that you're going to have is recognizing that God's doing something significant right now and embracing that and saying yes to that. Because if you're sitting here saying, well, I don't know what Sid's all of the hype's about and what Sid's getting all pumped up about and all that stuff, you know, it don't feel any different to me than it did 5 years ago. If you fail to recognize that something is different about this day, you will miss this moment. You will. And you'll march around a mountain. If you hang in there, you'll march around a mountain and you'll come back. That's my biggest fear for the church body right now. That is my biggest fear. I think I even vocalized that a few weeks ago. I think I actually used Randy as example. And I said, I don't worry about you falling into stupid sin and stuff like that. And I was just using him as an example. I'm not saying I sit around and say, well, I hope Randy don't miss. My concern for the church body is that we will fail to recognize the significance of the moment. This was just not another day in the life of Jesus, guys. And that's what we tend to think, man, is Jesus just kind of walking along all of a sudden. Oh, there's John out there and all that. Nick, you looked it up. What was that journey from Galilee to Jordan? What was it? It was like 100 miles or something like that. It's about 100 miles, and either Jesus walked it on foot or he rode a donkey. Either way, that's pretty significant. It wasn't just another day. He recognized a push from Father God that said, now is the time. He knew that that his cousin John was in the wilderness preaching the gospel. Everybody in that region heard what was happening, and Jesus knew this was it. He recognized the significance of the moment. And the first key to you getting this is you recognizing the significance of the moment. Hunter, don't wait. You're a sophomore this year, right? Coming up sophomore. Don't wait until you're 2 years out of college and find the right girl and settle down and get married and say, now I'm going to start my journey with God. Because you're going to miss an amazing window of what God's doing right now. I promise you. Don't miss that. Recognize the significance of the moment and what God's desiring to do. All right? Recognize that and make the appropriate response to that. So that's what I see in Jesus right here. It was a significant day. Significant moment. Jesus said yes to that. He said yes to everything. He humbled himself. He allowed John to baptize him. He received from the Father. He wasn't one of the... You know what it is when you come in and say, well, I just don't see nothing different. I've got everything I need to get me. I'm saved. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and I've been in church 20 years now. You know what that is? That's spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. And I've seen it on all levels, and I've experienced it on some levels in my life. And I've seen it on all levels. I remember when we were having in the midst of some really, really great revivals here, and man, there was a lot of demonstrations of the Spirit, and people were, you know, just, you know, every time, every service of folk, we had so many throw towels, it wasn't even funny covering people up and all that. I had a local minister come up to me, and he would come and listen to the preaching, and as soon as the altar call started, he would leave, and he told me, he said, you know, I've done been there and done that and seen all of that stuff and experienced all of that. And he said, man, the word's awesome. But he said, I done been there, done all that. It was kind of like, I done got a tattoo and a t-shirt and everything. And I'm like, dude, it's a new day. It's a new time. It's a new thing God's doing. Yeah, I may have been in the floor, but you know what? The next time in the floor, it's going to be different. Because God's doing something different and God's saying something different. And the key for us to getting this, if we don't get anything else this morning, the key for us getting this is recognizing that today is something unique and significant in our life. If you fail to recognize that with your children, you know what? You miss out on stuff. As kids, as little kids, it's always a day or a week of first, isn't it? She learned to crawl this week. She learned to pull up this week. She learned to walk this week. She learned to say dada this week. She learned to put full sentences together this week. Right? You see what I'm saying? And if we come in and approach, and it's like, you know, just like 2 weeks ago, Zealand had this huge breakthrough in the pool, you know, where he just flinging himself off the diving board without any swimmies on the deep end and just swimming underwater to the side and the swim out and all that. And we're kind of like, whoa, where'd that come from? You know, it's like one day couldn't, and the next day it's like, you know, Captain Fearless. I'm just going to, you know, jump off without abandon and be like a little, reminds me of a little frog. You know how little frogs, when they're in the pool, y'all all seen that? Just, he can't swim a lick on top of the water, but he can go underwater. You know, and he just gets over it and just does. But if I viewed that week, or Brett viewed that, they sent us a video. I mean, where me and Lori were, and we're like, whoa, get it, Z. We have to recognize that each day is unique and each day is significant and it has the potential for amazing breakthroughs. And so Jesus was not prideful where he said, oh, you know, what's this? He came in and he said, it's time, it's season, it's this is going to happen. And so Jesus did all of these things. And in verse 17 it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. As far as I know in Scripture, this is the first time I've heard Father God release and echo that. First time. When did John make his direct declaration, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world"? It coincided with Father God putting a hand of blessing on him. Did it not? Didn't it coincide? He'd been declaring, "There comes one. The Messiah is coming. The kingdom of God is here." He'd been declaring that. But it coincided when he pointed him out and said, "There he is," with Father God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It wasn't like he'd been saying for months, "Jesus is the man." All right? He just said, "The Messiah comes." All of a sudden, there was an identification that took place. An identification from heaven, and then an identification from man. Because Father God, they saw the blessing of Father God on him. And so this voice comes out. The angels announced it at the birth, but Father God announced it, and Father God put a blessing on him that nobody else could put on him. There's a blessing that I can put on my daughters as an earthly father that nobody else can put on them. I think it's huge. I think one of the biggest reasons for the failing of our structure in our society today is because we are missing this blessing of an earthly father into sons and daughters' lives. Amen. You study what you want to. It's the biggest failing in the black community is an absence of fathers. It's the biggest failing in a white community is an absence of fathers. And it's not just an absence of father that the father's not in the home, but the father is not in a position and not willing to put a blessing and release something into their children's lives. You can put shoes on their feet and clothes on their back and chase your career and your secretary and everything else and not put a blessing of the Father, and that's just as big an ailing in our white culture as it is the African-American culture. Theirs may not be in the home, but you know what? Ours isn't releasing a blessing. Both of them are creating a huge void. Both of them are creating sons and daughters that are dysfunctional because they've not had that released into their life. And so our daughters don't have the blessing of a father, so they're promiscuous and chase the blessing and the validation of another man in the form of the middle linebacker on the football team or the dude they met at the bar, or you fill in the blank, the successful businessman. And it's the same difference. It's the absence of a blessing and validation of a father. If you will properly validate your children and release blessing into your children and then position them in a place where Father God can and will do the same thing in their lives, they will not go through life searching for validation in everything else. Because the two things that God intended to bring validation into our life are in the right position and established and releasing the right thing into them. And that's what God set up. God set up a father to release that and a heavenly father to release that. You look at what Father God did when He created earth. It said He blessed Adam. And if you think about it, you study it. You go get your Strong's Concordance and you look how many times blessed, bless, and blessing are in there. It's mind-boggling. You look at what all Father God blessed. He blessed Adam and Eve. I find it interesting He blessed the seventh day. That messes with me some. He didn't bless the other 6 days. He blessed the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day. It said He blessed it and consecrated it. This day should be, so you say, well, that's on a Jewish Sabbath. That says, whatever, it's what we call our Sabbath. This is our seventh day. I know it's technically the first day. I don't want to fight with the Seventh-day Adventist on that. But you know what I'm saying on that? God blessed Abraham. God blessed Noah and his sons. God blessed Shem. God blessed these things that He knew were going to perpetuate His purpose. All right? He blessed those things. He blessed Jacob even after He had used deceit to get birthright and blessing. Isaac even recognized this, guys. Later on in Genesis chapter 27, after Isaac knew that he had been tricked and deceived, it didn't say he was mad at Jacob and didn't have nothing to do with him and all of that stuff. Immediately Rebekah comes in. She knew Esau was going to kill him. She came in and she said, I need to send him off to Laban, my brother, and let him find a bride there. She goes to Isaac and said, these women and this Hittite women, they burden me. I don't want my son marrying one. I want him to go and find a bride out of our people. And so you know what his father does? The first thing he does, he comes in and he blesses him again. It was so significant of what God was doing and set up in this thing that he blessed him again. He told Esau, I don't want to have another blessing I can give you because I gave it to Jacob. But yet he can come up with Jacob and give him a subsequent blessing in this same thing and then commission him and send him out. Because what that was a platform that he was propelling Jacob in to where he was going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. I know I'm throwing a lot of teaching at you guys this morning. We'll come back and we'll mop up and clean up a lot of this stuff later. But this, I want you to get the significance. I want you to at least walk out of here today understanding the significance of this. Understanding the significance. Every man in here, you need to have some weight that you feel on you about this. Brett, the most significant thing that you can do is release the blessing of a father into your children. Release the blessing of, because you can release something into them that I can't even release. I know I'm the patriarch of the household. I get that. When my dad passed, there's something, I became the patriarch. I understand that. But there's still something, I released something into my daughters my dad couldn't release into them. And you'll release something into your children that I can't release into them. I'll release covering blessing on them and all of that stuff. But there is something about a father laying a hand on a child and releasing something into them. There is something heavenly about this. There's something deep and spiritual about this. And some of you say, man, and that's what we prayed a few weeks ago. So many of you answered this altar call, and you said, my earthly father didn't do that. And I stood in as God's representative, and I spoke that over you. Actually, when I spoke that over you, I was speaking that over you as God's representative. I couldn't do it as your earthly father, but I could do it as God's representative. And I could release the blessing that He intended into your life. We can do that, guys. We can do that. We can do that. This stuff is huge right here. And this happened in Jesus, and all of a sudden it propelled him. I want to read a couple notes, and then we're going to finish it off here this morning. What we tend to do is we want him to bless our activity. Think about it. We want him to bless our activity, and he wants to bless us. We want Father, earthly Father and heavenly Father, to sign off on what we're doing. We want Him to agree with what we're doing. It's almost like we're running it up the ladder and getting a sign off and saying, yep, that's, I'm good with that. We had rather Him bless our activity and not us, because then we think we can retain our identity. There is a transfer that takes place when He blesses us. We take His identity. We take His identity. All of a sudden, when God looked at Jacob, what did God see? He changed his name to Israel. First, he didn't see deceiver. He saw something else. After his experience at Bethel in the wrestling match, not just the whole ladder thing, but later on the wrestling match, when he came back after 14 years, sometimes we have to go into obscurity. Hello, Jacob, you spent 14 years getting two brides. And he comes back from that, and God looks at him, and God wrestles with him. He says, who are you? I'm Jacob, I'm deceiver. He said, that's not what I see. He said, your name's Israel. You see, he lost his identity. He lost his identity. Some of you are in a place of obscurity right now, and that's not a bad thing, because you know what that place of obscurity is? It's you losing your identity. You losing your identity. The best thing that could happen to me is me losing my identity. The best thing that could happen to me is me losing. You say, I want to be my man. All right, so I want to be God's man. Uniqueness flows out of that. There was nobody like Jesus. There was nobody like Peter. There was nobody like John. There was nobody like the Apostle Paul. Don't worry about losing your uniqueness. You'll find your uniqueness when you lose yourself in Him. But we come in and we want Him to bless our activity instead of blessing us, because we say, if He'll bless my activity, I still get to be Micah Thompson. And God wants you to lose Micah Thompson and be identified as the Son of the Most High God. Gideon's place, Hail thou mighty man of valor. Who, me? I'm sitting here threshing wheat in a wine press. He said, no, I see a mighty man of valor. Arguing back and forth. I heard a powerful message a couple weeks ago on God calling you great. God calling you great. Ooh-wee. He even referenced Samson. He said, you may die with your eyes gouged out and your hair cut off, but you're going to die great, because He said you're great. That's your identity. Don't worry about it. I'm going to lose. You know, how many of y'all look back when you were a kid and kind of been like, man, I was kind of jacked up? High school. I know the glory days. You look back on your high school days, don't you, Brett, and kind of look like, man, I was jacked up on many levels. Do we really want that to be our legacy? Do we really want that to be our, whatever your high watermark is. See, we go through life and we glory in our high watermark, but you know what, dude? If Cemetery Ridge is your high watermark, you still lost. Isn't that right, James? I'm referencing the Battle of Gettysburg. I stood right there on that high water mark of the Confederacy. I have, me and Brett have stood on that ground right there and look across the field at Pickett's Charge, a mile and a half long field where thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people died. And it's like, that's our high water mark. You still lost. I don't care how great your high water mark is. If you're trying to do it on your own, you're a lost cause. But when He comes in and He puts His hand upon you. Lori scolded me about laying hands on women's heads. She said, women don't like her hair getting messed up. So I'm kind of doing this for Robin. I got Jamie White about 3 times a couple weeks ago. She's like, baby, I know you caught up in the moment and it was awesome and anointed and all. But she said, women don't like getting their head squeezed because it messes our hair up. I'm like, me and you ain't got that problem, do we, brother? Where was I at? That threw me. The high water mark, though. Your high water mark as Robin House is still a lost cause. Your high water mark as Robin House, saved, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in itself is still an inferior cause. It's not lost, but it's inferior. But when He puts His hand of blessing upon you, but see, Robin House, saved and name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know what that is? That's your birthright. With it comes legal authority. With it comes legal right. With it comes the promise of certain resources. But when He comes in and all of a sudden He lays His hands upon you and He blesses you, you know what that means you have then? That means you have the Father's heart. And when you get the Father's heart, you've got everything. When my daughters have my heart, they have everything. They have everything. When my son-in-laws have my heart, I know that's a little awkward and all that stuff, and Brett's kind of like, when my son-in-laws have my heart, they have everything. Because as he comes in and he marries into this thing, you know what he naturally marries into? He naturally marries into the blessing of the Father that puts his hands upon him because of his union with my daughter, where the Word says the two shall become one flesh. And as he is one flesh with my daughter, then all of a sudden he gets another covering of the blessing of an earthly. The same thing with Larry and Jeremy Crane. Because Jeremy is one with Larry's daughter, then all of a sudden, as Larry lays his hand and releases the blessing, she doesn't struggle with all these insecurities in her life because she's got the blessing of her father. So she doesn't have to run everywhere else and find validation because she found it in you. And then she found it in Abba Father. And when she gets it double places, then all of a sudden she can flourish as a woman. She can flourish as a child of God. And that's what God's wanting to do right now, guys, is He's wanting to this huge transfer to take place to carry us out of a place of walking and living in inheritance to a place of walking and living in a place where the Father, you gave me permission, where the Father said, I put my blessing upon you. I put my blessing upon you. And when I put my blessing upon you, heaven opened to you. Heaven doesn't open to Bill Johnson. Heaven doesn't open to Chris Volatin. Heaven doesn't open to Damon Thompson. Heaven doesn't open to Pastor Sid. Heaven doesn't open to Brother Brett. Heaven opens to me because I have been validated by the Father. And He said, this is my beloved, what's that word? My beloved daughter in your case in who I'm well pleased. Here's what takes place of this, and I'm closing with this. Linda, you can come on up and start playing if you will. Here's what takes place in this. There's two things that go on with this. There is an identification, because all of a sudden Father God declared anybody, this is my kid. You say, well, that took place when I got saved. When you got saved, you acknowledged God and recognized God and you accepted Him. And there was a legal thing to where He accepted you. But when He puts His hand of blessing on you, all of a sudden He said, hey, everybody, this is my kid. This is my kid. This is my kid. So there's an identification that takes place. See, God's a relational God. You know what He'd rather talk about anything? You know what men like to talk about? We like to talk about what we do and what our interests are. You sit down next to a plane and you start talking to the dude next to you on a plane, two men, you know what the conversation is going to be? What you do for a living? And then that'll spin off to, do you like to hunt, fish, who's your favorite sports team, da 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 da. It starts spawning off into our hobbies. I'm saying, trust me, that's it. We do for a living, man. That's where we find our identification. But a woman's relational. Two women sitting next to each other on a plane, you know about the first thing they're going to do? You married? How many kids you got? If you're over 50, they start the whole grandkid question. You got grandkids? Right? I'm serious. Because they are relationally driven. Guess who is not interested in career? God spent 6 days creating the earth. Everything that we know, He spent 6 days creating. He said it's good. Then on the sixth day, He created man. What did He say about man and what did He say about woman? It's very good. So you know what God's topic of discussion is? Dude, did you see that giraffe I created? It's awesome. No. It's good. But you know what's very good to Him? Let me tell you about my kids. Shh. You think you've got skewed vision concerning your kids? I know everybody's kid is good looking and an athlete. I know, or extremely musically talented, or amazing. I can't tell you how many child prodigies I've met through the years. My dad said the same thing about every one of my grandchildren. He did. You know what? Every one of my grandkids, as they started coming through, by the time they were 6 months old, he was talking about how smart they were. He was. I said to Hannah, she's as smart as a whip. I tell you what, I believe she's going to find a cure for cancer or something, you know. Me too! Me too! I'm sure Kennedy will be smarter than all of them. Me too! Him too! Because he looks on you and he wants to release the blessing of a father over you, Tyler. More than gifts. More than stuff. He wants to release the blessing of a father into your life. And say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The second thing on this is not only was it identification, it was alignment. He was declaring alignment. He didn't say, this is my beloved son. We'll claim our kid. But now all of a sudden, alignment. 10 years ago, you were my spiritual son. I'd tell people. But now, you know what? Now, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, because now there's an alignment with you in heaven and it's a coming out. And that's what it was with Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. You know what he told him at the Mount of Transfiguration? Y'all remember that story? When Peter, James, and John went up on the mount with Jesus, and he met with Elijah and Moses, and they were up there and they were talking and all this and everything, and they're like, oh Lord, I mean, Peter, James, and John were freaking out. Let's build an altar, 3 altars here for you guys and all that stuff. And Father God, the second time we hear Father God releasing the blessing of a father, so he can do it more than once. He can do it more than once. I did it when my girls were born. I did it when my girls were about 13 and just declaring purity and all of that stuff. I did it when I gave them away to their husbands. I did it again when they started birthing babies. But it was just a release of a blessing of a father into their life. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then you know what he tagged on this time? Hear ye him. He didn't say, listen to what I've got to say. He said, listen to what he's got to say. That tells me something. That tells me something with what the Father's doing right now. Not only is he identifying and saying, Jessica's my daughter, but he is wanting to release you into a place where he says, if you want to see me, you look at her. She's an image bearer now. She didn't look like me growing up, but she's starting to look like me now. A lot of times what will happen is when kids are born, they'll look like their mama, they'll look like their daddy, but they will grow out of it. But with him, the deeper we get in this thing, the more we get to where we look like him. And so there's a blessing of the Father that doesn't say they're going to get my stuff or have my authority. It says they look like me and they sound like me, so listen to what they have to say. That's what the Father wants to propel you into. Jesus said, if you've heard me, you've heard the Father. That was an audacious statement, wasn't it? Only to somebody that the Father has not laid his hands on and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But once you've received that blessing, that's where you live. So you can make that statement. You can release that. I don't want you to look like Hannah House. I want you to look like him. because He's beautiful in all His ways. He's perfect in all His ways. Son, that'll attract the right guy. Your physical beauty will attract a lot of scoundrels. They will. They'll say, she's hot. I know I'm embarrassing you, Hannah. I won't even say nothing about it. She's got pretty legs. I don't know if you got pretty legs or not, but you know, she's... They'll be like, oh, she's pretty. She's hot. I want to go out with her or hook up with her or whatever. Worse than that. Huh? But when you start looking like him, you know what? All of a sudden, that starts attracting king sons. Because that's what princes are looking for. That's what a prince is looking for, Hunter. Not who looks best in a bikini, but somebody that looks like him. That's what a prince looks for. That's it. That's what a prince looks for. That's what a princess looks for. Somebody that looks like a king. Somebody that looks like a king. If you look at him and you guys, are y'all dating a little bit, kind of? Okay. I thought you were. I thought I was being safe here. But if you look at him and he looks like a king to you, I didn't say what kind of career is he going to go after. I didn't say if he's going to be successful. But does he look like a king? If he looks like royalty, he's worth pursuing. If she looks like royalty, she's worth pursuing. When we start looking like royalty, the world will desire us. Tell me the world's not infatuated with royalty. I came in the other day, Lori was looking at some show, wasn't nothing else. I'm looking at some show on Princess Diana. We're still infatuated with royalty. When we start looking like royalty, the world will want what we've got. The world will want to be around us. All of a sudden, we'll become the most interesting people on the planet. And all of a sudden, somebody that's as ugly as Prince Charles looks kind of good. Right? Amen? Come on, ladies, you thought that how'd he get Diana? Because he's royalty. That's how he got her. How do I touch the world? Because I look like royalty. I smell like royalty. I talk like royalty. That's what happened with Jesus. That's what happened with his disciples. And that's the invitation to us. Let's just stand to our feet. I still got another page of notes I hadn't read yet, but I feel like we need to stop right here. The altar call this morning, this is what it looks like. You said yes to birthright. Everybody that is in here that is saved, you said yes to birthright. How many of you will say yes to the blessing of a father? How many of you will say yes to that? That's the invitation for today. Not just today, for today. That's the invitation coming out of South Carolina. That's the invitation coming out of Kansas City. That's the invitation coming out of California. Is will we say yes to the blessing of a father? Sometimes we have a hard time receiving that or understanding it because we hadn't got it in an earthly way. But I want to tell you, everything that is great and grand and perfect and beautiful, that's the blessing of a heavenly father. In Him is pure light and there is no shadow of turning. That's the blessing of a heavenly Father. It's pure light. It's pure light. My blessing over my children is good. But His blessing way trumps that. Because it's pure light. It's pure light. It's pure light. So if you need to move and if you need to respond to that, just let's just move. Father, we come to you. And we thank you for today, and we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for this amazing, amazing invitation. What you desire in us. And Father, I pray for everybody in here, every person in here, that we would recognize the significance just like Jesus did. And that we would say yes to it. And then let it flow. Let it flow. Let us have an appropriate response to you today, Father. It's in Jesus' name I ask this. In Jesus' name, amen.